This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Well, let's talk Monday Night Raw that emanated last night from a city you may have heard of. WWE was a little bit shy about where they were. They hit it. You had to decode it. They dropped a few hints throughout the show of where they were, but I think I finally cracked the code of where they were, and it's a city called something like that. Some pronounce it Chicago. I'm not sure, but WWE, was pretty subdued about where they were, and a big show though. Big Monday Night Raw that emanated last night, and one that felt WrestleMania worthy. The event didn't feel like WrestleMania, but the build of that show felt like we are close to WrestleMania. You know, sometimes WWE limps into pay-per-views, even limps into WrestleMania, where our expectations of go-home shows have decreased over the last several years because they've not really done a good job of making it feel they're at a boiling point. We can't wait for it. Let's do it. And this felt like an old school throwback show. Yes, we had a ton of star power. The Rock shows up unadvertised and does what he does better than anybody does right now. And that is entertain the crowd, get them engaged. A surprise appearance by The Rock certainly shook the entire show up. Yes, we got CM Punk and everything he had to say about The Rock and about Seth and about Drew. We'll get to all of that. And even the women had a nice moment last night, a program that I haven't been particularly high on in Rhea Ripley and Becky with kind of a ho-hum build, I think pointed itself in the right direction. So really a lot of good came from last night. And I tweeted this out. I said that, or posted it on X, however you say it now, that it felt like it was the Raw after WrestleMania. I mean, it had that kind of vibe to it. And, you know, we're going to go segment by segment here in just a minute, but I do want to take a moment and thank the patrons who are enjoying this show and enjoying all of our shows ad-free. You can join Patreon if you want to go ad-free at patreon.com/WWE podcast, or you can even go to Apple Podcasts and go ad-free that way. Both of them offer a 1 week free trial. And I do want to right now take a moment and thank the latest patrons who have joined us. And that person is Matt Brown. So thank you, Matt. I appreciate your support. I hope that you enjoy all of the things we have to offer here as we roll closer and closer. And at this point, we're in a sprint towards the finish line of WrestleMania 40. And there was a lot of hints. And, you know, let me just start with The Rock. I can't not start with The Rock. You know, this Rock run took a weird turn. He returned as the typical Dwayne Johnson version of The Rock, still gets a big pop, still is a fan favorite, but we've seen and been through this act throughout the years many, many times. Now, he hasn't wrestled in 12 years, but we've seen a Rock bottom here and there and a special appearance here and there, and he's generally the same type of guy. You know what you're going to get with that babyface version of The Rock. Then he transforms back into the $1,000 wearing, you know, Rolex wearing, you know, Hollywood Rock. And he becomes the final boss. And he runs down the crowds, but the crowd still cheers. He changes his entrance music to the beloved Hollywood Rock theme, almost the full Hollywood Rock theme. It's about 80% of the way there, other than the beginning of the song. So he transforms into a brilliant version of himself that is, it's Hollywood Rock, but it's not like he's trying to be the 2003 version of The Rock. He's updated himself. And in a way that I think most fans didn't know they wanted, even more than the babyface version. I mean, even given everything I know and how the Cody fans decided to change things and actually cry and whine that Cody was slighted, I think it has turned out for the best. this is a rock I don't want to go away. I don't need him there every week, but man, if they could do something long-term over the next year, I think everyone would love it. I guess reports are that he is going to be filming a movie from May to August, so he probably won't be available between May and August. So that's what, 3 months or so he's going to be filming a movie. That tells you something big could happen at WrestleMania or WrestleMania Backlash that puts The Rock out of commission until SummerSlam or so. And then The Rock returns at SummerSlam for a proper program with Roman Reigns. That, again, long-term booking here, but my point is I just don't know if I want this version of The Rock to go away. It is just, it's so fun. It feels real. It's Dwayne Johnson having to go all in. You can't half-ass a character like this. It's just a lot of fun. And at this point, can we just say the PG era is over? Can we make that declarative statement now? Is it, I mean, I'm not being facetious. I'm actually asking. Because with all the cursing, the blood now. I mean, it does kind of lean towards TV-14. I don't know if they've officially jumped into that market or not. I don't think they have. I think what they're doing is trying to have their cake and eat it too, seeing how far they can push the PG label. I think it actually would not behoove them if they can get away with this under the PG label, which is kind of a bit kind of striking, because what PG meant to me as a kid in TV, PG movies and TV PG, it's now like what TV 14 was back when I was, when I say I was a kid, I mean, a teenager, even into my 20s. What is considered PG has expanded. Now, of course, you could break down the issues with that, of course, and you know what that means for kids and families today. I don't think there's a whole lot of positive impact there, but it is what it is. And if they can get away with staying PG, but continuing to push it right to the edge, right to the edge of what PG is, then I wouldn't change it, because what you're doing by going full blast into TV 14, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. A lot of sponsors will drop out. Well, not a lot, but some may drop out. You're telling your audience, hey, this is not really for kids anymore. And that's not a smart business decision, because you want that next generation of fans to grow when they're young. That's how a lot of fans get into wrestling, is when they are younger and it sticks in their brain and it's an experience and they grow up with it and it's a bonding experience for family. So, it's still TV PG. But I don't think they'll ever fully go back to TV 14. If they can get away with this under the TV PG umbrella, don't drop money and lose sponsors and alienate families and send the wrong message if you can stay PG but also push the boundaries. It's a smart business decision if it's sustainable. So beyond the business part of this, let's just get into the storyline stuff, right? That's what you're here for. This part of The Rock attacking Cody Rhodes. Now, he came out and surprised Cody. We'll get to that. But the more important part of this at the end, there's more going on here, guys, than I think even I realized. Then as I watched Raw back and I saw some posts on X and on Instagram that I totally missed. Certain things they dropped, hints they dropped during that segment. The Rock attacks Cody backstage, uses a trash can, talks trash to Cody Rhodes' mom. Cody gets bloodied and just tells everyone this is how it has to be. This is, first of all, proof positive that The Rock is not going to help Cody Rhodes win at WrestleMania. It would make no sense. So we'll see how tension is built between Rock and Roman, if there is any. And it may also lend itself to bloodline rules actually happening, because there were hints that people freeze framed during the brutal assault that The Rock inflicted on Cody backstage and in the parking lot. And by the way, the rain really helped make that. It really almost cinemified that whole segment. The rain falling down, all of it. I mean, it's just the universe aligned perfectly for that segment. But the point I'm trying to bring up, the freeze frames. There were freeze frames, and I kept a few of them. I may post them on X. where during the assault, in the background, you could see the production trucks for WWE. And one of the trucks, I think, had Charlotte on it. But more importantly, the other truck had John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And the truck was lit up. The side of the truck wasn't hidden. It was in the background. And that was not on, that was not an accident, I don't believe. So John Cena and Austin in the background of that shot is, I think, an absolute foreshadowing of things to come at WrestleMania 40. Things that I hope most of us are looking forward to if it happens, and I think it should, of Bloodline rules, which means Seth and Cody lose night one. Night two, Cody's got a mountain. You know, the story is, my God, now Cody has Bloodline rules. He's going to be outnumbered. He might have Jay, but, you know, Jay gets taken out early, and then wham, here comes John Cena. He gets overwhelmed. You know, he takes out Solo, takes out Jimmy, and then Roman spears John Cena. John Cena is now out of the equation, or The Rock hits a rock bottom on John Cena. And, just as John Cena is getting the advantage to even the playing field for Cody, so John Cena takes a rock bottom, people are booing, and then the glass shatters. And here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin, throwing fists with The Rock, ends up in a stunner, and the crowd loses their mind. Now it's back to one-on-one, Cody and Roman. Cody finishes his story, hits the 1-2-3, and everyone goes home happy. I mean, I see it that way. I don't need to overthink it. So again, that's just my theory, but more evidence has been provided on Raw for that. So like it or not, it appears that's going to be the way it goes come WrestleMania night one and night two. So, all right, back to, but by the way, the attack was awesome. The blood was awesome. The mouthing off was awesome. It was unexpected because this has so far just been a battle of minds and words and mean stares and all that, you know, and elementary insults. And it has finally devolved. As Cody said, it's now the time for talking is over. And that's true. We're in that point. We're at that point now. So next week on Raw in Brooklyn, with The Rock and Roman Reigns advertised to be there, you do wonder how things are going to pan out for Cody come, the WrestleMania, or at least next week's Raw in Brooklyn, where he might have help from Jey Uso, but he's certainly not going to have help from anyone else at this point. So I think the story going in will be Cody, you know, it's going to be impossible and all that. It's just going to be a fun story. It's going to be, it really is. Despite all my criticisms of Cody, and I stand by them, it still is a fun story to watch unfold, given all the different layers. And we all believe Cody's going to win. But again, guys, I would caution you to think about, for all you Cody fans out there, and there's a lot of you, what if he loses? And sure, how he loses does matter. But if Cody loses this year, does it even really matter how he loses? Whether it's fairly, unfairly, whatever. At this point, it's just about Cody winning. Right. And if he loses to you, it wouldn't even matter how. Right. It would just be you lost faith in the company. It really may go that far. So a lot to look forward to on that front. We'll break down a little bit more of the Cody promo in just a minute. So let's do that. Right. Let's break it down. And we got Cody Rhodes coming out and, of course, wearing his suit and the Cody asked the Chicago crowd what they wanted to talk about. By the way, what was the number of times they mentioned the word Chicago? If you made a drinking game out of that, you'd be drunk in 30 minutes. Every time they say the word Chicago, take a drink. It's really kind of crazy. It's almost to an annoying level. If I was in the crowd, after like the third, fourth, fifth time, whoever said it, I would just boo. I don't care if it's booing myself. It's just stop it. I mean, I know they're proud of where they are. Chicago's a historic city, the Rosemont Horizon. I understand the history. I understand a lot of wrestlers, including Stone Cold, said his favorite arena to work in was the Rosemont Horizon. And I understand all that, but at some point, just stop getting those cheap pops, as Foley would say. Just use your promo. Don't use the name of my city to get over. But anyway, let's move on. So Cody recalled Roman's appearance on the Pat McAfee show, and the crowd cheered for McAfee. And Cody recalled Reigns referring to him as a politician who makes promises he can't keep. And Cody said Chicago should know more than any other city when he makes a bet or a promise, he absolutely keeps it. And he recalled being invited to be a fan's best man. And Cody said, imagine having to explain it to his wife and why he was going and paying for the bachelor party. And then he says he spoke of other similar examples and said he asks for nothing in return. Well, you know, it's funny. Politicians do the same thing. While he's saying he's not acting like a politician, this is what they do. He's saying, oh, you know, not doing anything in return. Well, if you didn't ask for anything in return, you wouldn't mention it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like saying, oh, well, you know, I didn't do it for the cameras, but oh, they happen to be here. You know, I'm not saying he has malicious intent, but to say he has no vested interest at all in who he's going to be the best man for and be the bachelor at the bachelor party and pay for it, all that. No, you know that you're still addressing this publicly, and now you know it's public information, which increases your quote unquote likability, which also in turn makes your hope. The intent is to endear yourself more to the crowd by making it seem like you're not trying to endear yourself to the crowd, that you don't actually want anything in return. Well, again, he is getting something in return without asking for it. He's getting the attention that he is saying he doesn't want, but he knows he's going to get. Do you see what the weird dynamic going on here? That's how a lot of sports stars do it sometimes. If you really didn't want people to know and you wanted to just do it quietly, you wouldn't have said anything on national television about it. Just like you just wouldn't have. He would have just said generically, you know, I've done a lot of things for fans that you don't even know about. And so clearly I do keep my promises, you know, instead of going into examples. Anyway, let's continue here as I go on Cody rants, but this is a long segment. So let's see. Cody said Reigns sees it as desperation. And Cody said all he does all the while, he's pretending to be champion because the champion isn't here. That was a good line, actually. So Cody's saying he's pretending to be champion, doing all these things because the champion isn't here. But hey, Cody, here's the problem. You're on Raw, so the champion is there. In fact, the champion on your brand has been there almost every week since the end of May when he became champion in 2023. So yeah, no, Cody, he has been there. But if you mean Roman Reigns, then yeah, that's a common complaint. And yeah, he is rarely there. We know that. So he said he respects Reigns, but he's aware of the way he screwed him out of last year's dream. This makes no sense to me. This is where Cody needs to drop the act. Stop with trying to be this, you know, this kind gentleman that still has respect for someone that screwed him out of the main event of WrestleMania, has beaten him down with his group several times, and says he's not even there. How are you telling me you still respect this guy? Name anyone in your life that if they did this, you would still respect them. But of course, Cody can never not respect someone no matter what they do, because that's his character, which makes me want to vomit. So he still, I mean, all, again, okay, no, Cody, you shouldn't respect Roman Reigns for this. But he does. He says he does. And, oh, he still hates his guts. Well, oh, man, what a shot that is to Roman. Well, I don't know if Roman's going to be able to stand that. He hates his guts. My goodness. Good grief. Oh, Cody, stop the pain. But he said he understands if Reigns hates him because he and his cousin, The Rock, can't give their quote wank fest at WrestleMania. Or yeah, I mean, so now we're talking about who hates who. Is that what we're really talking about? We're talking about, oh, I hate you. Oh no, I hate you. This is going backwards. This is like what you say on day one, not 2 years in. So Cody said he won the Rumble. And if he learned anything last year, it's that he can't do it alone. That's what he learned. That's what he learned, is that he can't do it alone. Not the fact that he was screwed. Not the fact that he has a case to go to management and say, hey, you know, as a main eventer of WrestleMania, and really every match in WWE, if we're supposed to believe this is a simulated sport, should they not just have the expectation of a fair match? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that this tag team match is even happening with that stipulation on night one, kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's fine. I'm not complaining in the sense that I don't want the match to happen. I do. But when you look at it through the prism of, well, that's what referees are for, you know, that's what TV cameras are for, that's what general managers are for, to right wrongs and make sure that matches are fair, and there should be an expectation of no outside interference. So the match that's happening on night one is really something that should already be happening, and the expectation should already be there, especially for a main event of WrestleMania. I mean, Cody could just say, hey, you know, this makes no sense, guys. Like, this should already be a thing. This should already be something that, you know, he went to Nick Aldis and said, hey, listen, I have a match with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. You saw what happened last year with no repercussions. There should be an expectation of the bloodline being barred from ringside here. Just on merit alone, not having to go through this rigmarole and jump through hoops to have that stipulation added. It should be an expectation of any professional sport. But hey, it's pro wrestling. That, I know I'm looking at it through a bit too serious of a lens on that one, but it's still, when you just think about it for a second, you're just like, no, this match shouldn't be happening, because your match should be no interference. And there should be referees there, and there should be replay, right? I mean, but anyway, let's move on.
I also don't know the last time that they have, well, the last time that anybody won back-to-back Rumbles, I think, was what, Austin? So, but with them introducing Cody Rhodes, do we really need to hear that he won? And the winner of the 2023 and 2024, I don't care about last year, right? Are we going to start listing all the accomplishments for everybody when they come out now? You know? I know they're trying to pump this guy up, and like, but we're talking about this year only. The winner of the 2024 Royal Rumble. I don't need to hear about last year, you know? It's a little thing, but it's, again, an annoyance for me. And so that's what's important, was what annoys me. All right. Let's move. So The Rock comes out after, oh, wait, no. We didn't even get to the worst part. Sorry. Cody said he needs help. So he's going to us, apparently, because somehow we're going to be able to help him with our noise. It was, again, just a perfect microcosm of the Cody Rhodes vomit-inducing character that he has and WWE has produced, because apparently we're all going to help him by making noises with our mouths. And he had everybody point to the WrestleMania sign. Are you kidding? Like, the most like overdone gesture in all of pro wrestling. And everyone complied like seals. You know, like, just yes, Cody, whatever. I mean, people are pointing to the WrestleMania sign. And again, one of the most just kind of annoying things that just everyone has to do, because it's company policy and everyone knows it's just policy. And everyone in the crowd does it. Nearly everybody. I mean, I just... like, come on. Stop it. So anyway, The Rock comes out. Mercifully comes out. Doesn't say anything. Has a long stare down with Cody. Fans are chanting, holy yes. And The Rock has his arms behind his back. Approaches Cody. And then says something to Cody and smiled and exited. Now, we didn't get to hear what The Rock had to say, and The Rock didn't say what he said, and Cody didn't say what The Rock said. All that we know is Cody said that what The Rock said, he can't keep. And so apparently there was something that The Rock said to Cody that was some kind of promise that he can't keep. So we'll see if that actually comes back around or just fades away. But this was really good.
Rocky Sucks chants also started when The Rock backed away and there was no battle in the ring. So, continuing on. We got, let's see, a Ricochet and JD McDonagh match with JD McDonagh losing to Ricochet in 14 minutes and 25 seconds. Really, I mean, it's a fun match. I mean, you always know what kind of match you're going to get with Ricochet. The crowd was into it. You know, Ricochet is as entertaining in the ring as anyone else is in the company. I mean, what he can do, the things he's able to do, and also avoid catastrophic injury every single night is nothing short of amazing. And this is no slight to JD McDonagh, who is an undersized wrestler, but also holds his own and is very fundamentally sound and is, yeah, kind of the whipping boy of the Judgment Day. But it ended with Ricochet hitting a shooting star press and getting the victory. Really nice job of also the announcers putting the Ricochet over really well. And more importantly, a really fun stat. I think it was an important stat to bring to the table was Pat McAfee mentioning that Ricochet's 3-0 in his last three televised matches. It's a big deal. Because typically we don't hear about records other than, you know, Undertaker's streak, which we all know. But we usually don't talk about records. And this is something to give Ricochet a little bit of momentum. Give him anything. So Ricochet was, you know, he's got a little bit of momentum behind him. Something that he desperately needs if they're going to do anything with him at WrestleMania, and I don't have much confidence that they are. So good. Good stuff. You know, Dom getting booted from the match, the fans loved, as they always do. I've always asked this question, though, like, what if they, no one has ever just said to the referee, nope, no, I'm not going to do that. I mean, that person on the outside of the ring isn't in the match. So what's the consequences that person decides, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to stand here. Like, it's as if there's some magic wand that gets waved every time a referee tells a person on the outside to leave. They all just comply. Well, why do they have to? What happens if they don't? No one's ever defied the referee when they said, nope, you're out of here, right? No one. So, I mean, what happens? I'd love to explore that rabbit hole. But moving on. We got CM Punk shown walking backstage, a trailer aired for Bray Wyatt, his documentary that premieres next Monday on Peacock. That should be very interesting and emotional. We then get a stat also from Cole saying it was the 11th straight televised sellout on the road to WrestleMania. Pretty impressive. I know that it was a kind of a gimme back in the day, when business was booming and the ratings were four times what they are now. And it was a gimme and it was something that was just, it was just a given. It was a given that every week was sold out. Even the house shows were sold out. And now 11 in a row. I mean, that's, if they're putting it on air and telling the fans that, that's significant. And I give the credit to WWE for that. I give credit to the talent. I mean, things are really heating up in a way that I haven't felt or seen in 20 years since Ruthless Aggression. So this is it's a fun, fun time to be a fan. And here comes CM Punk. Punk comes out. Crowd loves it. It's clobbering time. And we then get Punk in the ring. Still got his arm brace on, as expected. He's not fully healed. And the really long segment here, really long. You know, this could have been cut a little bit, I think. But seeing Punk back is fun. It's WrestleMania time. And Punk said that he had a lot of things he wanted to say, a lot of business to get to. And said that people are asking if he'll be at WrestleMania. The short answer is yes. He said his elbow is not great or 100%, but his mouth works. He said, we're not on Netflix yet, so I apologize. April knows what I'm talking about. I'm not sure what he's talking about, but I also don't think he should have mentioned the preceding network streaming service that WWE is going to appear on while you're still on the current one. That's kind of a no-no. I'm sure he got his wrist slapped for that. But Punk said people have made suggestions that he hosts WrestleMania. He said 10 years ago he would have thought that was beneath him, but now he just wants to be in front of people and brought up the idea of being a referee and asked if there was a match that needed to be the most impartial referee. And Punk pointed to McAfee and said he's not a daily listener because he listens to The Experience and The Drive-Thru, which are Jim Cornette's podcasts. Hey, Punk, what about us? Come on, you could have put us in your lineup. Don't pretend you don't listen. Punk said McAfee had Roman Reigns on his podcast. Punk wondered why Reigns brought him up. Punk said Reigns earned the right and he's respected it, and he respected it. Punk said that he expected to see Reigns while he's on his way down the mountain while Punk is climbing up the mountain. That was interesting. Very fun tease of what's to come for Punk in the future. All right. Well, what's up next here in this segment? We got Punk bringing up Seth Rollins, and he's magically taller now that he wears high heels, and says that Punk said maybe Rollins has earned the right, but it's kind of funny coming from someone with two bad knees. And he said, Punk said The Rock isn't someone who hasn't said a word about him. And Punk said he'd like to think it's because 10 years ago he came face to face with the Second City Saint and realized his arms are too short to box with God. That line, if you didn't remember, don't remember, or didn't watch, is a line he actually said verbatim during his match or during his build-up to the promo with The Rock. I think it was The Rock, but he did say it back when it was the summer of Punk, and actually Punk turned heel to face The Rock because Vince wanted Punk to turn heel, which made no sense at the time. But Punk then brought up Drew McIntyre and said he doesn't live on the internet. He said that when you have a problem in Chicago, you handle it face-to-face like a man. Drew made his entrance, and Punk said, turn off his stupid song. No one wanted to hear it. Get your blank ass in here. And McIntyre stood on the stage and said he'd love to, but the last time they were in the ring together, he stomped his arm and deserved it, and asked if he was a Punk asked if he was a Scottish psychopath in a kilt or an internet troll in a skirt. And then we're talking about cancellations and all that garbage. But McIntyre made his way to the ring and showed Punk his t-shirt. And here's a good line. Punk said he never had to put another man's name on a shirt to sell it. And McIntyre tore off one of his skirts and said he never struggled to get out one of his shirts, not skirts, shirts. And he struggled to get out of it because of his biceps, which is something Punk never had an issue to never had a to deal with that issue, which was fun. To me, the best line of the night came from McIntyre when he climbed on the table, broadcast table, and said Punk doesn't drink or do drugs, and yet somehow still spends all of his time in rehab. That was great. McIntyre said he doesn't hate Punk. He actually completes him. I wonder if McIntyre has been watching some Dark Knight Rises with the Joker, right? Heath Ledger, with the Joker telling Batman, "You complete me." When he said he doesn't hate him, doesn't want to kill him, you know, that he's just an agent of chaos, and that you complete me. I wonder, that's a line from that movie. Pretty close. So I wonder, but McIntyre spoke about Punk helping him, or thinking about how Punk helps him in the gym and when he won the Elimination Chamber. And then he invited McIntyre to get in the ring. And then McIntyre said Punk probably had a weapon and would try to take him out before WrestleMania, like the people of Chicago, which was a funny line. Just, my God, laying into the crowd. And McIntyre sat on the broadcast table with his legs crossed and said he hopes Punk has a front row seat to WrestleMania. So, I mean, there's a lot more I could break down. This went on for a very long time. Rollins eventually comes out and said Punk needs him to have a moment at WrestleMania. Rollins said he likes the idea of Punk being on commentary. Eventually, it comes to Punk is going to be on commentary at WrestleMania. That seems to be where they've landed, although Punk did show he can count a three. He can do a three count. So we'll see if that changes, but right now he's on commentary. And just a lot of back and forth here. There was a lot to take in. And Seth also told Punk that, I don't think about you. You're a non-factor. All this. It was a lot of fun. McIntyre, it ended with this. McIntyre told Punk, said that Punk is obsessed with him and that he's living Punk's dream and he's his number one stan. I don't know what that means. McIntyre entered the ring and then continued to jaw at Punk until Rollins super kicked McIntyre and followed up by giving McIntyre a stomp. And Punk was watching from the entrance aisle, and Rollins left the ring and walked past Punk, who then looked back at McIntyre. A lot of back and forth, a lot of just ups and downs here. And again, I'm fine with Punk being on commentary. I don't need him being a referee. I mean, I'm cool with it, you know, so we'll see. But you know, if Punk's there, he's going to have some kind of direct or indirect physical interference in this match. So the good thing is, Rollins and McIntyre just became a lot more fun. Because, sure, you have the X factor of Punk, but Rollins and McIntyre have done a really nice job the last couple weeks focusing on one another, which is a good thing. So, all right, Candice LeRae with Indy Hartwell versus Ivy Nile was next. And this match, as per normal, is unless there's a title involved, 1 minute and 50 seconds for this match, with Candice LeRae beating Ivy Nile. And it was because LeRae tripped Nile, put her in her feet on the ropes and got the victory. So LeRae cheated to win. And after the match, LeRae run past Hartwell, who doesn't seem to be too enthusiastic about the way LeRae won the match. And so there's tension between Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Or, according to Michael Cole, Candice Michelle. So, fine. Okay. I do think that part of the reason this match was so short is because the Punk segment probably ran super long. But why did the women have to suffer this consequence, right? Why? I mean, a minute and 50 seconds match is just... This isn't an uncommon occurrence either. That's what makes this worse. If this just happened once every great while, fine. But it seems like the women are taking the brunt of any segments that run long. So hopefully that changes. Now, while we're on the topic of women, I'm not going into any diatribe, anything off topic, any political rant. I'm not doing that. But what I will say is I may put a bonus episode out there for patrons, because this whole ordeal of Rhea Ripley and my opinions of Rhea Ripley have set a lot of the people ablaze on X. My opinions that are actually in support of women have really set things ablaze. So I may have a strongly worded opinion on the Patreon side of things regarding this topic. And it's really not just focused on Rhea, although she's the kind of the catalyst that started this whole thing, but she's representative of a larger problematic trend for the women in wrestling generally. And I want to really dive into it, because I've got a lot to say and I don't want to put anything that's not really all wrestling related on this show to the best of my ability. So if you're interested in hearing that, I'll probably drop that in the next couple of days over on Patreon. Just letting you know, it could also be just for those that are in the NXT Plus on hire as well. It may be kind of a bonus After Dark show. We'll see. All right. So we then have New Day, New Day and DIY had some fun blows back and forth with each other backstage. And if you noticed during that segment, Paul Heyman was talking to Drew McIntyre in the background. That wasn't by accident. So keep that in mind. So let's see. We got, again, New Day versus DIY. And Miz and Truth are on commentary. Of course, Truth is infinitely entertaining in really anything he does. And this match was a lot of fun, given the fact that this is kind of a cold match. Not a lot of rivalry here, so to speak. But, I did enjoy the match that they put in front of us here, and having those two on commentary is it's always entertaining. I mean, R-Truth, was he carrying around the 24/7 title? He was calling DIY D-Generation X. He was calling Gargano Shawn Michaels. And I mean, it's just wackadoodle stuff as Truth continues to live in his own reality. So, all right. Let's continue. And get to the end of Raw here. Now, Judgment Day who have really felt, I mean, they're, I think stale is an overstatement. I think losing steam is a better way to put it. I mean, we have Damian Priest, who's still got the Money in the Bank briefcase. We've got Rhea Ripley, who's a babyface in a heel group. And we've got Finn Balor, who is just invisible. We've got JD McDonagh, that continues to lose every match he's in. So, yeah, it's just they're losing steam. And, you know, that's not a complaint. It's just an observation. But, okay. R-Truth got beat up, by the way. R-Truth did not stand tall. He put up a fight against Judgment Day after they dragged him into the ring from commentary, and the crowd was all in on supporting R-Truth. I mean, they popped really, really loud for him, and it was fun to see. But ultimately, he got hit with the razor's edge by Damian Priest. I'm telling you, they're going to be the ones to take the belts off of Judgment Day. They have to be. All right, Intercontinental Champion Gunther was interviewed by Kathy Kelly. Gunther said he doesn't believe Sammy can beat him at WrestleMania, nor does he believe Sami Zayn can beat Bronson Reed. And that, we'll get to that in a minute. But Andrade versus Giovanni Vinci happened next. Andrade beat Vinci in 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Another talent that they have done nearly nothing with in the world of WWE here. They bring him back at the Rumble, just like Naomi, and it doesn't seem like there's a plan at all for him. And while I'm quickly talking about the women's side of things on SmackDown, by the way, can we remove the title of winning the Royal Rumble automatically puts you in the main event of WrestleMania? Can we take that out? Because that's clearly not what's happening with Bayley. It should just be rephrased as guarantees you a title match or a title opportunity at WrestleMania. Because to say that it's a guaranteed slot into the main event of WrestleMania is not always true and was not going to be true this year. So I think that maybe it should be rephrased. I don't know if anyone's even noticing this. But, all right. So Andrade beats Giovanni Vinci. Again, Giovanni Vinci is the JD McDonagh of the Imperium. I mean, he just loses every match. Doesn't get a whole lot to say, and just loses. But, okay. We then get Rhea Ripley coming out and pointed to all the matches that Becky Lynch has had and that she should be giving Ripley her full attention. And she was going to hand the mic, or she did hand the mic to Dominic, who got booed heavily. And it's interesting. I don't know if this is by design or by accident, that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are acting the same way towards their opponents at WrestleMania. And both of them are complaining they're not being paid attention to. Drew McIntyre is complaining that Seth Rollins isn't paying attention to him, and he's going to pay for it. And now Rhea Ripley has said the same thing about Becky. So I'm not sure what that is about, if it's on purpose, if it's by design, like I said, or if it's just a happenstance. I don't know. But just something I noticed this week, that essentially, other than the fact that Seth is champion, going into WrestleMania as champion, and Becky's trying to acquire a championship at WrestleMania, outside of that, their storylines are kind of identical. All right. So just a fun fact, I guess, for now. So we've got Becky's book coming out, of course, and there were some plugs for that. And, you know, no complaints there. You got to make a living and make money on the book you spent so much time making. So Lynch said Ripley doesn't wrestle on Raw anymore, and Rhea Ripley questioned why she would compete before the biggest match of her career. She said she doesn't have to get in the ring every week to get attention. She said she can, you know, post a video or photo online and, quote, watch these freaks eat it up. Lynch acted repulsed and told Ripley to listen to herself and said they have two very different interpretations of what a champion is. Lynch said that for Ripley, it's posting her ass on the internet for attention, whereas Lynch, it's busting her ass in the ring night in and night out to prove herself. And there will always be someone newer, younger, and hotter. Lynch said it's a long game that's about skill, merit, and survival. She said that's how you come back when you're in the muck, when you're not champion anymore. And Lynch said Ripley has yet to experience that, but she'll give Ripley a new experience. So Ripley said Lynch is a survivor and labeled her as a cockroach and said Lynch is hard to kill but not impossible. She said she wouldn't take it that far at WrestleMania because she wants Lynch to be on her couch watching her do her thing. I don't know what that was supposed to mean. Ripley said she wanted Lynch to sit next to her daughter and listen to her refer to Ripley as mommy, and a mommy chant broke out. Lynch then went kind of all emotional and told Ripley that was her one pass and she takes being a mom very seriously. It's not funny to her, and that her father never got to meet her daughter. And it was emotional. Yeah, it was. It wasn't a fake crocodile tear Cody Rhodes moment, but it was emotional. And gave Rhea Ripley one pass. And then it ended up breaking down, though, as Dom got punched in the face pretty roughly by Becky. And then we got finally a brawl breakout. The time for talking is over, as Cody opened the night with. Very, very much a apropos set the tone type of phrase, because that was what happened here. The time for talk is done. It's time to fight. And these two women made me, again, just like last week, I am more excited and more into this match. It's still not near the top of my list. It's nowhere near it, but it has piqued my interest more slightly. And that's the goal here, because I was very down on it and very meh about it for weeks. The last few have really done a lot to increase my interest level in this match. Credit to Becky, credit to Rhea. And what Becky had to say about Rhea Ripley and posting her pictures online is a very central piece of what I'm going to talk about. I mean, even Becky Lynch brought it to the table on Raw and made the point very eloquently, I think, saying it's not about posting your ass, it's about busting it in this ring. And that couldn't be said. Well, like, you can probably add a lot more to that, but that's the central argument that I've been trying to make, and yet people get mad at me online for it. Yet Becky Lynch repeats it, and everyone goes, girl boss, women empowerment. I say it, and I say the exact same thing, and it's, well, you're trying to restrict women. You're trying to tell them what to do. How about we just give women free agency, right? I could say the exact same words that Becky Lynch says, but because I'm a man, it's suddenly filtered through this different lens that I'm saying it for a different reason, even though the words are the exact same. Interesting, is it not? But I'll leave that argument and my passionate response to all of this for a After Dark show in a day or two. So, fun segment. And I think it was a success overall. Really, just a stellar Raw. I mean, I have to say, really, for all my complaints about Cody, which is kind of every week, and his nonsense, just a stellar, star-studded, WrestleMania-worthy Raw. Okay, Sami Zayn was backstage. He spotted Chad Gable, who was talking with Maxxine Dupri, and Gable ended this conversation and told Zayn he wanted to talk about how they ended their conversation last week. Zayn said it was fine because both Gable and Gunther both don't think he can beat him. And really, they shook hands, and that was it. So I don't know if this is still leading to an eventual triple threat with Gunther, Zayn, and Gable. I don't know, but it's at least encouraging, if you're looking for that, that Gable's still in the picture here, even if it's just talking with Zayn. All right. Bronson Reed and Sami Zayn is next. Bronson defeats Sami in 9 minutes and 35 seconds. Zayn tried and failed to slam Reed, who suplexed him and covered him for a 2 count. Zayn came back with a tornado DDT. Zayn looked to Gunther and then set up for his finish, but Reed caught him and clotheslined him, hit a tsunami splash, and got the victory. So, weird that I would have bet a lot of money Sami Zayn was winning this. It's weird that your number one contender for the unstoppable Gunther is being beat by a guy that has, probably 10 wins under his belt on TV. Not good. I understand that that Gunther was kind of there and in the mind of Sammy and maybe interfering in a way, but this is still not the way you want to position Sammy. You want all of your champions and contenders looking like they're both unstoppable or unbeatable. It's just kind of a tried and true rule on the road to WrestleMania or really any pay-per-view. Okay. We get Sammy backstage upset when Gable approached him. Zayn said he knew what Gunther was doing and still he still let him in. Gable said this is what Gunther does. He said it's more physical, more than physical with Gunther. It's mental. And Gable told Zayn he needs to take a different approach. And so they could talk about it. And that's that. So again, kind of maybe teasing Gable getting into this match, but maybe not. Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura in the main event. Jey Uso beats Shinsuke in 7.5 minutes, as he should. Jey superkicked Nakamura and then ran the ropes and speared him before getting the three count. After the match, we saw Cody and Jimmy, who were still brawling in the back, and that's where The Rock showed up from behind, and we know what's what happened here. And this was just really a lot of fun here. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, The Rock bloodying somebody. When is the last time The Rock bloodied anybody? Seriously. Didn't happen when with his return in 2004 to make the Rock and Sock Connection reunion against Evolution. That didn't happen. I mean, I would argue it didn't happen. I mean, even when he was in and out of wrestling, when he was starting and dipping his toe in Hollywood with the Scorpion King and all that, and eventually the Fast Six series and all that, even with his feud with John Cena, and even before that was coming back and helping Eugene and all that. If you guys remember Eugene, Nick Dinsmore played Eugene. All the kind of random appearances and just I don't think it's happened in 20 years. So The Rock bloodying somebody is a big deal. A big deal. And I'm very interested to hear Cody's response to this. Yeah, I bet you Cody comes out next week and says, you know, Rock, you know, I don't have to like you, but I respect you. But boy, do I hate your guts, mister. Do you hear that, mister? I'm going to send you right to your room for what you did to me last week. That was not nice, Rock. You know, I can hear him talking. If he tells me next week that he respects The Rock, a guy that attacks from behind, his character is just laughably implausible. And the crowd eats it up. The crowd eats it up. And I mean, obviously I'm in the fringe. I know I'm a fringe fan here when it comes to the Cody Rhodes deal. I know some of you are with me, a lot of you are not, and that's cool. But man, a guy that, you know, again, he's saying, oh, respect Roman, but boy, I hate your guts, mister. I mean, God, grow up. I mean, just, but the political analogy, calling him a politician, I do wonder if sometimes the wrestlers listen to this show or maybe writers listen to this show. I mean, I know there's other podcasts out there. I don't really have time to listen to other wrestling podcasts as much as I used to or would want to. But I don't know. Maybe I'm giving myself a little too much credit. Probably. But all right. I'm going to end it there. Tomorrow we'll be back. Maybe tomorrow or Thursday. I've just been so exhausted lately. But here's the thing. At the very latest, it'll be out Thursday with the mailbag because I'm telecommuting from my work Thursday and Friday. Okay, so I might do a double show. Maybe I'll do the mailbag and the special edition show of the podcast for patrons on the NXT Plus and above on Thursday. I'll do a double show. We'll see. But I just want to let you know, I'll try for tomorrow. The mailbag, I will make an effort, but I always say that and then I'm just laying in bed and I'm like, I just can't do this. I'm so exhausted or I fall asleep. I'm just being truthful with you guys, you know, just being honest, keeping it 100, as the kids say. But all right, I'm gonna leave it there. Hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow. If not, I'll talk to you Thursday. Thanks so much for listening. Consider going to Patreon or Apple Podcasts for your ad-free experience, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.